to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm your host, Mikkel, and today we are talking about Mr. Unavailable. Hello, what's up, guys? Today we are talking about Mr. Unavailable, or Mrs. I have wanted to do a podcast episode on this for a while, and I could have sworn I did, and I looked, and I haven't done one on it yet. So we're going to talk about the unavailable person that your mind keeps thinking about. This is the guy or girl that got away. Maybe it could be an ex, could even be just someone we have maybe had a crush on, we liked, and it never happened. Someone that maybe even we possibly, you know, put ourselves out there for, and you know, the relationship just never happened. But anyways, the idea is it's the one that got away, or the person you thought you wanted, and maybe they didn't end up being emotionally available to you. And I think the reason it's important that we talk about this is because the unavailable person can often be someone that our mind will fixate on when dealing with relationship anxiety. I see this all the time with clients where, you know, they have this good, stable, healthy relationship right now, but their mind just keeps going back to that one person, that one ex that just didn't really love them. Or again, that one person that they had a crush on that nothing ever happened with. And I think this can be an area that's very easy to take at face value. We can see these thoughts and be like, oh, well, that means like that is the one person I'm supposed to be with. That's the person I'm supposed to pursue. Or I need to go find someone that's a lot closer to that type of person. Our mind can even go there. We can start spending a lot of time mentally indulging and thinking about this person and kind of fantasizing about what our life would have been like to have been with that person that we never got to experience life with. Even if it was someone who wasn't emotionally unavailable, but just someone that we're not with, right? I think our mind can fantasize about that. And when we do that, there is a lot of shame that can happen around this that kind of blocks us from understanding what's really going on here. So I want to talk about this in a few layers, which is first that kind of shame, that judgment piece that can come up with this. And then we're going to kind of talk about why this happens, why does our mind get so fixated on someone that we couldn't have, don't have, that kind of thing. And where to focus your energy in healing what wound is coming up for you when your mind focuses on this. So first, the shame piece. This is always where I like to start because shame and judgment is like a barricade that blocks us from understanding anxiety and understanding what's really happening. When we shame and judge ourselves, it just shuts down our access to healing and awareness of what our brain is doing. Because if we think something's bad or wrong, then immediately we reflexively want to like avoid it. So first is to know that this is really normal experience with relationship anxiety. And it is so common that, like, again, this is something that I pretty much coach every single one of my clients on. It comes up. It's something I've dealt with. And I think one of the reasons that this really can induce a lot of shame is because you are someone who values being honest, being faithful, and we treat these thoughts of someone else, someone that we... these thoughts of like, what if you want to be with that person, as bad, morally wrong, sinful, and almost on the level of cheating on your partner to even have had a thought about someone else. And I think it's so important to know and normalize this. Like, I think it's very human. If you haven't listened to my Fantasy Lives podcast, you should go listen to that one because it's very similar to this. I think it's so human and normal to wonder and imagine about different scenarios. And you having thoughts about another person is part of having a human brain. It is not a reflection of your moral character or who you are or even the quality of your relationship. Any person that we choose, there can be other paths and other what ifs that our mind can wonder about. And if your brain is very imaginative and it wants to know all the possibilities and all the scenarios, any one person we pick, your brain could wonder about the others. And I think it's so important to be able to acknowledge this part of us that likes to wonder about other people without judging or shaming it. Because the more we shame it, again, the more it actually tends, one, it shuts our awareness, like I was saying, we get less access to that, but also it makes us less more likely to have those thoughts. More likely to have those thoughts. The more we're like, oh, no, I can't think about that. That's bad. That's wrong. It actually is signaling to your brain, let's think about this more. Let's keep wondering about this person. It increases your anxiety. A lot of times the reason, there's a few components that can go into this, why we keep thinking about this other person. Again, first is just kind of that our brains are imaginative. They like coming up with different scenarios. I almost see it like our brain writing like different stories and like, oh, here's what this story would be like. And here's what this story would be like. It's like watching different movies to our mind. And well, maybe that's not where you want to put your effort and attention. That fighting and resisting that and like shaming that will make you more likely to think about it. So let's normalize this a little more and think about like kind of why it happens. One, it could have to do with your attachment style. So if you haven't listened to my attachment series, go listen to that one. But there are several different things that play with attachment that can affect that. Specifically, if you are an avoidant attachment. Avoidant attachments are like islands. We like to be alone, isolated. We are more comfortable and we feel more safe if no one is dependent on us at all. That just feels more secure to us. And so someone who is avoidant tends to fantasize or focus on someone who is out of reach because the partner right in front of you, they're there. You see them, their real humanness, all their emotions, their desire to commit, and that can be very, very scary to someone who's avoidant. That can be very vulnerable. It can feel like a lot of pressure. Like you might feel very responsible for how that person feels. And so instead, what our brain does is like, oh, well, what about this person or that person? Because it's a way of distancing yourself from the person you're with. Avoidants have a very hard time allowing someone to get really close to them. And so if we can kind of push away the person we're with subconsciously by fantasizing about another person, an ex, an unavailable person, that feels safer to someone who's avoidant. So that's one thing to recognize that could be happening is your brain might be feeling scared and vulnerable in this relationship. And so thinking about someone that's not actually in front of you feels safer. And I think there's also this element of when we create, like ultimately you have to recognize this is a fantasy. Whether Mr. Unavailable is someone you didn't have in the past, couldn't have had, someone who broke your heart, or just this imaginary person that you think would be so perfect to be with. And that person that we kind of picture is a fantasy, right? I think a lot of times we forget all the things that maybe didn't work with Mr. Unavailable, the reasons that we didn't end up with them. We kind of forget those and we just start remembering all the beautiful things about them. So we start creating again this fantasy, or we start thinking about this made up person in our mind that doesn't exist. And naturally that is a fantasy as well. And so when we fantasize, it creates good feelings. It creates an escape from right now. So if there are emotions that you're not sure how to deal with, sadness, anxiety, hurt, anger, different feelings right now that you're not sure how to cope with, sometimes that fantasizing, that imagining another person is our brain's way of saying like, hey, this hurts right now. Let's actually think about this instead because it feels better. Much like watching a fairy tale, right? Or a rom-com, it has a lot of feel good to it because it's made up. It's not real. It escapes us from what's actually happening in our reality now. And what's actually happening for us right now, the feelings that are coming up for you right now, that is what needs to be addressed. That's what needs to be healed in order to allow you to start feeling confident with the person right in front of you, not with a made-up person, not with an ex or someone that isn't interested in you, with the person right in front of you who you're actually in a relationship with. Okay, another piece I think can feed into this desire for Mr. Unavailable is a deep sense of unworthiness. Now, this might not resonate with you because you might think, I'm a very confident person. Lots of people like me. I'm good in social settings. Because if you think that, I get it. I thought that about myself too. But hear me out for a second. One of the things that I realized as I started doing work on myself, and I realized it because I saw myself doing this in friendships too, and it was the exact same thing that I was doing with relationships and thinking about someone that I didn't end up with. This exact same kind of thing would show up in friendships. Thinking about myself in like a school setting, office setting, there would be one girl I would identify as much cooler than me, better than me, or like I thought she didn't like me for some reason. And I would see myself do this in lots of different situations. I would kind of pick out that one person that for whatever reason I thought didn't like me or was too cool for me. And I would on some level like try to become friends with that person, try to get them to like me. Or I would mentally just, you know, either outwardly I was doing that or mentally I was putting a lot of energy into thinking about this person and wondering if they liked me and paying attention to what they did and said, right? So either outwardly or inwardly, I was like putting a lot of energy and attention to this person that was cooler, better, didn't like me. That was kind of how I perceived it. And this would then go one of two ways, which is sometimes when I put in that effort to become friends with this person, we actually would become friends. And all of a sudden I would start seeing like that they actually were human. Like I still thought they were cool, but they weren't this like way cooler, way better than me kind of person. It's like, oh, they're human too. And they have things also. And as I would start to connect with them, all of a sudden they weren't up on a pedestal for me anymore. And as they weren't on a pedestal anymore, my obsessiveness around that person would diminish. And then my brain would find someone else, a different girl to put up on a pedestal and think she's cooler than me, she's better than me, like that person, that's the person I need to be friends with. And that is exactly what we do with relationships. I witnessed myself do the exact same thing with boys. Of it was the boy that wasn't interested in me. And then as soon as there was that reciprocated interest, and then I realized like, oh, they actually are human and they actually are available and they are in front of me, then my mind would want to go to someone else who was unavailable. So this search for Mr. Unavailable is this ongoing chase. And what I believe it signals underneath, what's really happening beneath the surface, is a sense of unworthiness. This unworthiness can be sometimes something that stems from a young age. If you had a caregiver that maybe didn't give you the approval that you needed, we can constantly be like trying to earn approval subconsciously through other people. So a very young part of us is constantly seeking approval from someone who won't give it. And so that can sometimes be the reason that we will look and look for someone who is not available and try to get approval from that person. And then when it becomes someone who is available, no longer do they fit that need to get approval from an unavailable person anymore. They're now available and approving. I hope that made sense. But then also, if you have this core belief about yourself that you are unworthy or you are unlovable, you have too many flaws, then you're going to pursue someone that matches that, that reflects that back to you. Someone that shows, oh, look, I'm better than you. Someone that makes you feel less than. Now, then we have someone that is available, who is interested in us, who is present, we might start to put that same kind of mindset onto them and be like, okay, well, I'm not worthy. So if you're interested in me, something clearly must be wrong with you. So then we start nitpicking them. We start finding reasons that they're not worthy of us. We are constantly playing this one up, one down game. So either we are less than this person we can't get, or if we can get them, then therefore we must be above them. So we're constantly pursuing someone we can't have in order to validate our worthiness. Once we get that person who is unavailable, then we can feel worthwhile and then we can feel valuable. But this is an endless chase. There's no end to it because, again, once we have someone we're in a relationship with, it's going to be that next unavailable person. The answer is not to use someone outside of you to validate your worthiness or to escape emotions. It's to learn how to create a sense of worthiness within a loving, kind relationship. Not to use someone to validate your worthiness, to learn how to cultivate and create it. It's to learn how to be comfortable with closeness and learn how to navigate the discomforts that come up in a vulnerable, intimate relationship. Rather than any time that things get uncomfortable or feel hard, we start picturing and trying to escape and think about a relationship where it would be better or easy. Is how do you lean into what's hard? How do you cultivate and open up to closeness and connection within this relationship? How do you have a sense of worthiness without needing a perfect fantasy unavailable partner to create that for you? All right, thanks so much for listening in. You guys have a beautiful weekend. We'll talk next week. Bye.